And welcome back. Now that we know some of the history of the Reformation and have learned about the spirit of reconciliation, we turn to the music of that period. Joining me now in studio is Dr. A. Dennis Sparger, the music director and conductor of the Bach Society of St. Louis. He's talking about a Reformation anniversary concert this coming Sunday, that is. It's titled Music of the Reformation. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Sparger.
Pleasure to be with you. It was so inspiring to listen to this talk about the Reformation. And while the two guests did talk about Luther's feelings about music, I think his influence in the area of music was probably just as powerful as it was in theology. He praised music to the highest level, and I think really encouraged us all to use all of our music to praise God. If I could offer just a few quick quotes by Luther, he said, "Music is the art of the prophets and the gift of God." And he also said, "Next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world."
Well, I guess he was a fan of music.
Yeah,
that's pretty clear.
And that's what inspires our concert.
Of course, music was about all there was in the day. There was no radio, no television, and very little theater.
Yes, and unfortunately, you got to hear music once.
How would you characterize the music of this period?
Well, in 1517, most of the music he heard would be polyphonic, which means like all four voice parts of a typical choir, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, would be singing different melodies at the same time, and the composer would craft this music so it would all flow together and make sense to the ear.
Was it a cappella, or what was the instrumentation like if it wasn't?
Well, we think of the music of this time, you know, what we might call the Renaissance, as being a cappella. More likely, there probably were a few instruments doubling the vocal parts. There wasn't anything written separately for instruments to play at that time.
In your concert forthcoming, and we'll give information on that in a couple of moments, what is that going to be like with regard to the choir and instrumentation?
Oh, some of everything. Yeah. In fact, we're taking music selected from the last 500 years that represents Luther. With the exception of two psalm settings, and these were psalms that were favorites of Martin Luther's, every text you hear will be by Martin Luther, and many of the tunes you hear were penned by Martin Luther as well.
Well, there is a certain symmetry here, is there not? Because my understanding is that the founder of the Bach Society was a Lutheran.
Yes, that's true. He was. In fact, in the early days of the Bach Society, there was a very strong relationship with the Lutheran Church and with Concordia Seminary. But as the years went on, the organization attracted people from other denominations as well. So there is no formal relationship with any church. We're totally an independent arts organization, but we do focus on sacred music, especially the music of Bach, who himself was a Lutheran.
Well, it all fits together, doesn't
it? It does.
This is a big weekend for you and the Lutherans and the Catholics.
The
Bach Society of St. Louis is presenting Music of the Reformation next Sunday at 3 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church of Kirkwood.
It's a beautiful space.
It is indeed.
And with a wonderful new Casavant organ that our audience will not only get to hear as a solo instrument, but playing with the orchestra and with some audience participation as well.
Oh, in what way?
Well, when we begin the concert with, of course, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, we're inviting the audience to stand and sing with us. And we have a few other Reformation hymns that the audience will join in the singing.
We have some examples, as I understand, of some of the music of the time. Perhaps you can set up something or tell us something about what we're going to be hearing we can enjoy it.
Yeah, one of the biggest Bach works is his cantata Ein feste Burg ist unser Gott, or A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's a cantata in eight movements. He wrote three different versions of it throughout his life, and after his death, one of his sons added trumpet parts and timpani parts. So this is just the opening movement of Cantata 80.
Thank you.
would say there's an element of joy in
that presentation. Oh, there is. It's just so full of the spirit and just such energy that's in the music. And if you know the tune, A Mighty Fortress, you heard bits of it being passed around from voice to voice.
You know, I'm very familiar with that. I mean, growing up as a churchgoer, as a young man. And it was not simply specific to the Lutheran Church.
No, that's true. Yes.
Other denominations as well.
And I think even Catholics will sing A Mighty Fortress.
Yeah.
It's our God. Yeah.
That is interesting, given the kind of the rift, if you will, between those two religions.
Well, music is a thing that can bring us all together.
Well, very, very true. Mm-hmm. Where would that music typically have been performed 500 years ago in churches?
In the case of Bach, we're working more like 300 years ago. It would have been performed, you know, in his Lutheran church, mm-hmm. the St. Thomas Church or the St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, and would have been performed from the balcony. So with a smaller group of performers, it would have had a big, magnificent sound, and it would have been part of the worship service. So, you know, the Sunday morning service would not have been 1 hour long or 50 minutes long. There was no football game to get home to watch. So this service might have run on for 2, 3, 4 hours on a Sunday morning. So there was plenty of time for music. And the text would be also reflected in what the sermon would be for the day. So the audience would hear the scripture reading, the word of God, and hear the music that supports that scripture reading, and then a one-hour sermon that also supports that scripture reading.
Hmm. Tell us a little bit more about your program on Sunday.
We start after our processional hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Then we begin with a Renaissance piece written by Johann Walter, who was a contemporary and a friend of Martin Luther. So we're looking at a piece written probably around 1530 or 1540. And then we move to a piece in the next century. And then we move up. And so we're hearing music by Samuel Scheidt and then a piece by Heinrich Schütz. Let me come back to him in a moment. And then we move on to Telemann, who was a contemporary of Bach, and even move on to Felix Mendelssohn, who came after Bach. Well into the 20th century, and two pieces that were written just last year.
A lot of German influence.
We're doing one piece in English. But the printed program will include the German text on one side and the English on the right side. So an audience will have a good idea of what all of this is about.
How difficult is it for the singers to perform, to sing in a foreign language?
Well, all of our singers come into the chorus already having experience singing in Latin and in German, so they adapt to the language very quickly. And we always have someone in the chorus who is either a native German or who has spent some time living in Germany who can correct us if we have a little flaw here or there.
Right. Well, it's going to be magnificent, I know, particularly as you indicated, the church. It's a wonderful location for something like this.
It was quite amazing. And I'm so happy that, as a gentleman were speaking earlier, there is a prayer service that follows in the evening at the Basilica, and we've been in conversation with them for more than the past year and to make sure that our programs were offered at separate times so people could attend both if they choose to. And fortunately, one of the groups involved in the evening prayer service, the Lutheran School of Theology, wanted to support our program so much they've given us some significant financial support to do it.
Well, that's always welcome.
Yeah. And another thing that happened about a year ago, I had a call from a retired pastor who said, you know, there's this piece by Heinrich Schütz I would really love to hear, you know, one more time before I go on to the eternal life. And I asked what it was, and I didn't know the piece. And I said, I'll do some investigating. And I found it. And I said, yes, we could do this, but it'll cost you. So he raised the funds to pay for that piece to happen. So this is why we're doing a setting of Psalm 136, Thanks to the Lord, Danke dem Herrn, by Heinrich Schütz.
And we can listen to some
of
that.
We can hear a little bit of that, too.
Let's do so.
Thank you.
Choral music is just so wonderful.
Oh, I'm glad I've spent my life in choral music. It's really the place to be.
In the program on Sunday at the church in Kirkwood, anybody welcome? Is it a ticketed event?
It's a ticketed event. Tickets are $25, $35, and $45. Mm-hmm. My executive director, Melissa Payton, told me that we're approaching 75% sold out. So I would encourage people, if they're interested in coming, to go to our website, boxsociety.org, to order tickets, or call the office at 314-652-BACH.
We'll put all of that information on our website.
Yes, and that online sale is available through Friday, and then it's door sales only.
Okay, and again, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Kirkwood. We have just a couple of minutes left. Tell me a little bit more about the society, specifically the singers. Who are the singers? Where do you find them?
They come from all over the area. Some drive a considerable distance to perform with us. For about 3 years, we had a wonderful alto driving in from Greenville, Illinois, every week. Hmm. And she's moved on to take a position elsewhere, so she's not doing that. But we have singers coming from Alton and Muskoda and Belleville and from Wildwood. And, wow, and from St. Charles, just from all over the region they come. They all have some training in music. I think all of them have had private voice lessons. Many of them have music degrees. We have some music teachers, and then we have people that are in other professions as well.
They must be a very dedicated bunch to do all that traveling.
They are, and we have a very solid core group that comes back year after year.
How many performances do you typically have in a year?
Typically, we have four major concerts throughout the year, and there may be a few other smaller appearances that we make for special events.
And are they all at the First Presbyterian in Kirkwood?
Oh, we move from place to place. This year, two of our concerts are there because of the space works out so well for these particular sounds we have. Christmas is always at Powell Hall. And in fact, we've been doing that since Powell Hall opened. And that date is December 19th, and that always sells out as well. And then we conclude the season at Missouri Baptist University in their new beautiful auditorium doing Bach's St. Matthew Passion.
Okay, and it all gets started on Sunday
right here.
The Bach Society of St. Louis presents Music of the Reformation next Sunday at 3 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church of Kirkwood. Thanks to Dr. A. Dennis Farger for being with us of the Bach Society.
Always a pleasure to meet with you.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so very much.